today on Real Radio.
We were lost sinners separated from God. Jesus died on the cross because he loved us. He wiped away our guilt and our condemnation. And by his resurrection power, the Holy Spirit is given to every believer. The Bible says, sealing them until the day of redemption.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter, with a message called Power Walk with Jesus, Part 2. You know, the Apostle Peter was a disciple of Christ, of course, and he later on became the leader of the first church. Now, in Peter's time, Christians were mocked and ridiculed and often tortured for their faith. But Peter, he taught them how to live a victorious life, even in the midst of pain and discouragement. Now, as we head into Part 2 of Chapter 3, we'll find Peter challenging every Christ follower to go in the same direction, with the same purpose, and for the same reason. Walking with the Lord, with passion, and with compassion for others, it's possible through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's His power that unites us and lives inside of us and shows us the way. So today on day one of this message, Pastor Jack tells us that many churches today have no biblical foundation. People are starving for the truth and they really want to experience true Christianity. So they look to us as Christians, but our testimony is only powerful when the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives. And now in his message called Power Walk with Jesus, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Last time together, we looked at this challenge of walking in the power of God and that if it's true, that we as believers are walking in God's power, which is encouraging because God did not leave us. Nowhere in the Bible did he say to you and I, now that you believe in me, muster up all the power that you can and go out there and live the Christian life for my glory. He never said that. He never did that. He commissioned us to go out into the world and to live for him by his power. You got to remember that, everybody. It's by his power you and I are Christians. It's by his power. And so the world out there is starving to see real Christianity. The world out there, and let's prove them wrong. The world out there is criticizing, mocking. They believe the church is irrelevant. Let's be honest. When you look around America, I have to agree with them. On the surface, the church is very irrelevant. In a lot of places, the church has no biblical foundation. They're teaching everything but the Word of God. You go to other places in America, and churches barely, and maybe this is a good thing, they barely have anybody attending. There's no dependence upon the Holy Spirit. There's no looking to the Word of God. I don't know where you have friends living, maybe across America, maybe you're visiting, but you know, the trend across America today regarding so-called Christianity is a 60-minute church. Did you know that? 60-minute, like a program, 60-minute church. You come in, you have a few hugs and highs, you've got some songs, and then the pastor gets up and gives a sermonette for Christianettes, and you're out in 60 minutes. And then you wonder why nothing changes in life. But then we'll go to AMC or the Harkins or the Edwards and we'll sit there for 3 hours and watch a movie. And whoa, is it over already? We've got our values wrong. And the truth of the matter is God has promised us all power in and through the Word of God, the Bible. And Peter has been pouring himself out to his audience. And I don't need to belabor their condition and where they're at. We looked at that many times during this series in 1 Peter, but we saw in our study, if you remember, in verses 8 and 9 regarding this power walk with Jesus in this life of ours, that we're going in the same direction. Those of us who are being led by the Spirit of God, can I just say this? Let's just assume for a moment we're all Christians in here, although the parking ministry reminded me last week that not all of you were Christians leaving in light of a message I used as the parking lot ministry as an analogy. So this week we've got hidden cameras. We have body cams on our attendance. I'm kidding. But as we look at this, let's just assume for a moment that all of us are believers. What does that mean if we're all Christians following Jesus? Listen, it's not a mystery. The Holy Spirit is God. He's one, but he's in every believer, though we be many. But we saw that he's going in the same direction. He's going in his direction, God's direction. We saw that as point number one, and we saw three different things that back that up, that we're going in the same direction, number one, by the logos of God, by the very logos or the word of God, the direction. As believers, how is it that we all around the world as Christians throughout 21 centuries, how is it that the true church has always gone in the same direction? It's because the Holy Spirit is using the word of God, the logos, which is that word in Greek for God's word. And it said there, finally, all of you be of one mind. We saw that it's impossible to be of one mind unless we have one focal point, the word of God, the Bible. Number two, we saw this same pathos. If you and I, are you listening? If you and I are in the word of God, doesn't matter what financial structure we're of, doesn't matter what our race or ethnicity might be, it doesn't matter where you live, it's irrelevant, all of that. That the fact of the matter is, if we're in the Bible, then we're gonna have the same pathos, and that is the passion. And we saw that in verse 8. There the Bible says, having compassion one for another, he's saying there, let us love as brothers, be tender-hearted and to be courteous. It means this, that the very passion that drives you and I as a Christian, rooted in the Bible, that is our propellant. Because the Bible is an absolutely living, breathing word. It's so remarkable. When the Bible gets inside of you, the Holy Spirit will use it. It's as though he sets fire to you. There may be kindling in there. That's the potential that God has within you. He knows what that is. He knows what you are to do. He's designed you to do whatever he's called you to do. But when the word of God gets inside of you, the Holy Spirit grabs it. And as it were, there's an explosion. And that explosion we would call the pathos, the passion of why you're living as a Christian. It's not your job. It's not your career, believe it or not. Listen, stay at your career. Keep going to your job. That's a godly thing. But it's not your reason for living. Whatever that career may be, your pathos is your love for God. And we talked about last time in detail about nurturing and even confirming in our own lives, are we for real as believers? And then thirdly, we saw at the verse 9 there that we have the ethos. The ethos is the word for lifestyle. We have the word of God in us. We have the passion for God that's in us. And now we have a new lifestyle, ethos, as believers. In other words, we're living for God now in our lives. And it said there in verse 9, not returning evil for evil. We're not to retaliate, reviling for reviling. If somebody yells at us, we're not supposed to yell back. But on the contrary, or the exact opposite of that, we're to be a blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. And I love the word inherit. It doesn't mean you're going to earn a blessing. Oh, let's be Christians so we can earn a blessing. No. It's inherited. What do you do to inherit something? Yeah, you're kind of quiet right now. Good. To inherit something, somebody's got to die. That's how you inherit something. And that means when that person dies, it's given to you, is it not? So this is awesome. Christianity is so amazing. I was reading C.S. Lewis last night, and he said, the reason why I'm no longer an atheist but became a Christian is because all the other religions of the world can explain their God to the detail. But he says, Christianity is just queer enough to where you cannot figure it out, but he's given us enough to know him. It's an awesome statement. Listen, the fact of the matter is this, that God sent Jesus Christ, watch, to die for your sins and my sins at the cross. And we're grateful he did that, right? But we're actually more grateful for something else that happened. He rose again from the dead. He paid for our sin debt at the cross, but to justify us, that is to take what he did at the cross with his own blood and then to put it at work in power in your life, Jesus rose again from the dead. And here's the fun thing. It's called the New Testament, meaning that somebody had to die before the testament could be empowered. Jesus died, empowering his will, as it were, that your sins would be forgiven. But how do we know? Oh, that's the beauty. He empowered the testament by dying, and then he stands up from the grave and says, okay, now I'll be the one to enforce what I promised by my death. I died, I paid the price for your sins, rose again from the dead, and I'll see to it that I'll finish my work in your life. Thank God he left that to himself and not us. We are to believe in him, and God will direct the rest. And when he does that, it changes our ethos, our lifestyle. You can't live a life for the world and for yourself and then name the name of Jesus and then go on living with no change. Our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Guess who's not the same yesterday, today, and forever? Raise your hand. Thank God, right? If evolution were ever true, it's true for us. We were lost sinners separated from God. Jesus died on the cross because he loved us. He wiped away our guilt and our condemnation. And by his resurrection power, the Holy Spirit is given to every believer. The Bible says, sealing them until the day of redemption. That's why God says, I will finish the work that I've begun in you. And that ethos is that lifestyle, and we inherit the blessings of God. And so now Peter picks it up. Look at the second argument in verses 10 to 12. We're looking at now living for the same purpose. We're not only living for the same direction or in the same direction, but we're living for the same purpose and in the same purpose. He goes on to say here, look with me in verse 10. He says that for he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking evil. In your margins of your notes there, write down Psalm 34. So Peter, the fisherman, now the theologian, Peter, having been born and raised a Jew, since about the age of 5, he's grown up and he has learned the Psalms. Every Jewish boy would have gone to class since the age of 5 in Galilee. Peter was one of them. And he would have learned the prophets, the law and the prophets and the Psalms. He knew this. Here's what's fun. He knew that. The awesome thing about the Bible is that the Bible says that God wrote the Bible, but he uses people. So up from Peter comes something that is hidden in the well of his soul. And this is Psalm 34. That's why the Bible tells us to seek him daily. It implies in the word. David said, thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you, O God. Notice that's the power to our lives is the Bible in us. Look, we're weak. Can I just confess for all of us? We're weak people. You know, look, you may be strong. You may be able to bench press, run. Oh my goodness, I should have taken a picture. The other day I was at Walmart walking out of the garden section and I saw this young woman and she's leaving Walmart. She's got grocery bags in her hands. I'm going to guess, I don't know, maybe 30 years old. She's walking with grocery bags in her hands and she's just walking like this. I mean, she's on a mission. And as I got closer, she's got a little baby strapped to her front and a little baby strapped to her back. And she's got these khakis on, right? She looks like she's going to Afghanistan. And she's on the move and she's got purpose. And I didn't realize, I was looking, I was watching, and then she just goes, hi, Pastor Jack. And I started reaching for my phone because I didn't get it out on time, but I wanted like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. And then, but I did turn back and I say, you're a hero. You're a hero. life, lifestyle, passion, purpose. This whole thing about you and I moving and walking in the same purpose for the cause of Christ. She was on a mission to raise those babies up. She had stuff in her hands. She's going home alone for that moment, alone with all of that work in front of her. But there's a mission to that. The Bible tells us that you and I are living for a mission when we talk about purpose. And I love that. Look with me, if you would. In verse 10, it's the same reason. So what is the purpose? Well, the purpose is this reason. It says, for he who, I hope that's you, would love life and see good days. Do you want, listen, do you love life? Do you want to live? Do you want to see good days? What a sweet word this is. God is saying, here's some advice. God is announcing, here's some fatherly advice. Whoever would like to love life and to see good days, listen up. That's what he's saying. I mean, that's a strong word. So what is this? So what do we do? And this is what he's, in fact, I'm gonna sneak ahead for a second, you guys. We'll get into it next week. But look at verse 15. Just sneak down, verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. With gentleness or respect, the word means. What a great word. What's the key? Sanctify. This is what he's talking about. What's our reason regarding our Christian purpose as believers? What's the reason to all of this? Yes, God wants me to love life. Yes, God wants us to experience good days. So how do I do this? The answer is sanctify God in your heart. You see, what does that mean? It means to take the things of God and to place them in your personal private life. Dear friends, listen, you may have grown up religiously, but do you know God internally, personally? You may have whatever you may have in life, but do you know God personally, privately? Do you have a continuous, ongoing, personal, as Charles Spurgeon put it, intercourse with God? On a habitual relationship with God? He's in your mind, he's in your thoughts, he's in your process. He's in your purpose, and he's in your reason. If that's true in your life, then you're very serious about sanctifying the Lord Jesus Christ in your own existence. That God is number one in your life. So you need to ask yourself, is that true? Is God number one in my life? This is what Peter is announcing to those who trust God. It's very important. When we set God apart in our hearts, what is implied here, the picture that is painted, is that he's out front of us. I like that. He's out in the front. The next thing we see in verse 10 is it's for the same honor. When we talk about honor, we're talking about the honor of Jesus. Christian, listen, all of us are to be honoring the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you, raise your hand, be honest, how many of you know someone who's not a Christian? Raise your hand. Yeah, you know there's people watching you right now. Those people are watching you. They're watching how you handle things. They're watching you, how you talk about your life or the world around you. They're watching you. And it's often been said by many a preacher and a pastor that they may never read the Bible, but they'll read you. You'll be the only Bible that they'll see. And that's a good thing, by the way. If you're walking with God, it's a good thing. But we're to honor the Lord in our lives. Peter's saying what comes out of this reason for us living and being faithful to the purpose of our lives is the fact that we'll honor God. The Bible tells us over and over again, look, consider these candidates that came up here a moment ago. They're announcing, really what they're really announcing is, I'm going to live the next 4 years to the honor of God in the public square. It's a commendable thing, but listen, every Christian is to honor God. We're all to honor God in whatever we're called to do. And so verse 10 says, let him refrain. By the way, where it says let him, the word actually means let the inner person of who you are, the heart of you. So whoever you are, let him, note this word, refrain his tongue from evil. I want to show you this, the meaning of this word. See the word refrain? You ought to circle that. You ought to mark it. This is great advice. So the word refrain means this. It's a big meaning. It means to make or to cease your tongue or to stop your tongue, to stop it. So Peter's talking to the believer. We're all believers in here right now. Peter would say today, okay, here's the deal. Get ready to stop your tongue. You and I need to refrain our tongues. Is that not true? That's true for all of us. What do we say? How do we say it? In what context? Did we really need to say what we just said? You know, I mentioned that we're at the World Series on Friday night, and behind us, there was a bunch of guys who had too much to drink, and they were, I don't know what their deal was, but you know, have you ever been someplace where you need to take a shower after people are done talking? And what really cracked me up was this guy's yelling. He's yelling at the batter. You know, this guy's getting $30 million a year to swing the bat. I would think that the guy kind of, you know, he kind of knows what he's doing about swinging a bat. How could you swing at that? What's wrong with you? And he's putting all kinds, and I'm thinking, man, calm down, guy. Well, he starts ramping it up, and his words are flying. You know, words. And people are putting up. It's amazing. You know, I don't know about us as Americans. Are we too polite? I think we're too polite to the point where our politeness is actually a sin. It's not good. Because there's little kids around, and this guy's, oh, man. And then this one officer, this one cop comes down the aisle, and he just goes like this. The guy's mouthing on, and the guy just goes like this. He goes, you, I'm talking to you now. And the guy just goes, well, you are. He went off, he went away somewhere. The guy came back like this, and he sat in his seat. It was awesome. I don't know if they did a quick lobotomy back there behind the Pepsi machine. I don't know what happened, but that officer said something to that guy and affected him. Now, if a non-Christian can be told by the law, don't talk like that anymore, for a moment anyway, for the rest of the game, the Holy Spirit says to the believer, stop it. Do you name the name of Jesus? Stop talking like that. Do you name the name of Jesus? Stop telling dirty jokes. Do you name the name of Jesus? Stop using that tone of voice. Holy Spirit is saying, stop it. Why? Because the world is out there looking at us.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Power Walk with Jesus, Part 2. We're so glad you joined us today. Let the Lord's Spirit bring out the best in you. He's never going to let you down. Power Walk with Jesus, Part 2. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter, a series that takes us through the life and times of the Apostle Peter, whose love for Jesus Christ carried him through great persecution, and whose compassion for others really does inspire us still today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Today, more and more Christ followers are living out their faith no matter where they're at. They refuse to let the isolation of COVID-19 discontinue them from Jesus or His church. And one way that's possible is through our website at jackhibbs.com. Now, once you're there, you'll find access to Pastor Jack's devotions, YouTube channel, podcasts, Facebook, live-streamed events, and so much more. Peter gathered the first century saints together through his letters, but now we have the advantage to stay connected through social media. Again, our website is jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And don't forget to download the Real Life mobile app for your smartphone or tablet for on-the-go access to all that Pastor Jack has to offer. Our phone number, if you should need it, is 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Also, the address, P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.